You're listening to the Thank God for Nostra podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Thank God for Nostra podcast. I am John, also known as Holobod, and today I have with me Artur Bergerman of Nostra.band fame. Thank you for joining me, Artur. How you doing?
Yeah, fine, thank you. And thanks for having me. And yeah, it's nice to connect finally and get a chance to talk to you. Would be great.
Yeah, I think I feel like I've been working through my backlog lately, finally getting a lot of people onto the podcast who have been around for years at this point in the Nostra space. Just to give a quick introduction to people who may not know who you are, you know, your most well-known project is Nostra.band, and I think that's the oldest one. And it kind of created the first search of Nostra, the first indexer that I'm aware of. And still out there, still really useful. People use it all the time. You've got a relay that goes along with it. But you've also done other projects. So there's a Nostra app manager, Nostra apps dot, what is it? Nostra app dot link. No. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So we've got Nostra app dot link. We've got npub dot pro, which is where you can create websites for your own pub key. We've got nsec.app, which we're going to talk about a little bit today, which is a place where you can store your key. And we also have Spring. Am I missing any other big projects? Do you have anything else in the works? Yeah.
Well, there are no big projects. I guess we've got an API that some clients use, but it's probably not a major project. And then there is a relay, which again, many clients use. And we've got some minor things. The widget to embed Nostra events and maybe zapper.fun, the zapping micro app, and probably some other minor things. But yeah, those are the bigger ones.
Nice. Well, that's definitely a great record. You're pretty prolific. You know, I figured before we jump into the signer stuff, get into the weeds, would you mind giving a quick kind of backstory of how you got into Nostra, how you've been thinking about it, approaching it, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so it started with a project that I was trying to like build and try and get out in the wild. It was called Real Search, and it was just a small web indexer that would serve search queries and search through the web index, and you would pay with Lightning per query. And I launched it somewhere around November 2022, launch meaning like showing it to some people and posting it on Stacker News and stuff. And then like several weeks later, and because of that, I was back on Twitter because I don't really usually use it. And then from a couple of weeks later in December, Nostra became like back into everyone's attention. And I thought that, well, this thing probably needs search too. And so I just, literally in a couple of days, like attached a crawler. And I even bought the domain Nostra.band much later, because like the first Nostra search was on the same domain, Real Search. And yeah, from there, it felt like this whole thing with Lightning, I was just trying to apply Lightning somewhere. Like maybe if we integrate it into something that normal people could use and would be interested in using, then maybe it would be like helpful. And so here with Nostra, which seemed like this whole new ecosystem, and maybe it didn't seem like the future of the web at first, but at least there was a community of people interested in like not just sticking Lightning into something, but like building something from the ground around private keys and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it just went from there.
And that's kind of funny because I was working on something sort of similar. It was a Lightning micropayment powered database. You know, I was trying to build something like Firebase or some of the smaller ones like Backendless is something that I've used in the past, where you have a database that you don't have to host anywhere. You just kind of hit an endpoint. And I wanted something where you didn't even have to create an account. You just, you know, either the developer paid for the micropayments or the end user paid for the micropayments. So the end user is paying for the hosting of the site that they're using. And yeah, like I say, it was like a key value store basically. And if you want to put something there and have it retained for a certain amount of time, you pay an invoice and then you have a balance. And, you know, I was using public private key cryptography. It was all like very similar to what you're talking about and similar to what Nostr is doing. And I sat down in about, I guess, 2 years ago at this point, and I asked, you know, should I build this database that's Lightning powered or should I work on Nostr? And I decided to go towards Nostr. But yeah, those, and of course, like Nostr solved not only the, it's kind of solving the micropayments problem for end users, but it's also solving that headless application sort of thing. You know, nowadays you can just make a web app with a static page, connect to any relay that you want that you know that you're going to be able to write to, and you're off to the races. You don't need to deploy any infrastructure anymore. It's really cool. And of course, yeah, I would like to see relays, paid a little bit more to be able to close the loop on that model. But we're getting there. It's really cool to see it materialize.
Yeah, like the at first there weren't even Lightning payments baked in until Zaps came out. But still, as I said, like the community of people that are all in on this technology, it seemed like they would inevitably try like to make it work all together, and it seemed really fun. And so yeah, I was just at that point where I was looking for something interesting to work on, and it was like a very lucky situation to join the Nostr. I actually heard about it maybe 6 months before that from a podcast with Ben Arp, like many people did. And so here it was like, okay, it seems like it's not just sitting there on the GitHub, which made sense. Like the GitHub page, it was there 6 months ago, and it made total sense. It just wasn't, it just was completely dead. Like you could type in what was the first client? Brandly something.
Oh, Brandly. No, yeah.
Brandly, yeah. And I entered there and I typed something and there was like silence. So, but now there was real some signs of traction. So, yeah, it was really nice. I've never been somewhere at the beginning of such a thing, like such a new movement or protocol or something. It was very exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting. It's so fun to be able to contribute to this and make a small mark, hopefully positive. I know that there have been things that I wish I hadn't pushed. I helped to get the count spec through. And count just doesn't make sense on relays. Although there's been some movement recently with using the hyperlog protocol, I guess, to reconcile counts across different relays. So maybe we'll actually see that become a reality. Although with Negentropy, I'm not sure if we need count. But anyway, that's kind of beside the point. So you started with Nostr.band and you've done a whole bunch of different things, really interesting projects. They're not like regular Twitter-like clients like we have so many of. What has been your sort of guiding motivation in working on all these different things?
My first guiding motivation that I joined with was like the idea that I wanted to build a business, like business online something. It was like the long time, this idea in my mind that I've been building projects on the side all the time and they never really took off. And this time I had some, let's say, savings, and I was able to try something on my own. And so I didn't join with like some, let's say, idealistic ideas of what the web should be changed to, or like stuff like that. I was looking for a way to build something that people will find useful and will pay for it, and like I will be able to live on this. And so through these like 2 years, I was just trying to find places where there were gaps in some sense, where people who were having fun doing stuff like Twitter, like clones, and just chatting there and exchanging memes. It didn't seem like I had anything real useful to add there. And so I was just trying to look for places where it made sense for me to like contribute, which would potentially have like some, which would have a potential to create some income for me. And so for me, it's just, it's not like a hobby now. I'm just trying to figure out how I can contribute, but then also build upon the stuff that other people contribute, and to build an online business on this. And so Signer's stuff is interesting because of that, because like without signers, without remote key access, you don't have like an ecosystem of apps. That all this interoperability that we are talking about, it's not going to work if we are going to store keys in one single super app. It just doesn't make sense. And so that's the first thing. Then there is like, how can normal people experience this? And like the Spring browser was like trying to approach this from one end, where you could like use the normal web, but then your browser would somehow have some Nostr capabilities, and then you would sort of you would be able to browse all the stuff, but also Nostr apps, and from in Nostr apps you would have many Nostr features. On normal web pages you would have comments and all that stuff published on Nostr. That was kind of the idea. And the web was much bigger than Nostr, and so the idea was that, well, people could use it because there's much more apps, content there on the web than there is currently on Nostr. That didn't work really well, I think, because building a browser is kind of hard. So,
yeah.
And so now, and Pop Pro is kind of the opposite of that, trying to let people have tools to create Nostr-based websites that are accessible to anyone, anywhere. They don't have to really even know that they're built, those websites are built on Nostr, that when they type something, comment or like, that it's somehow Nostr thing. Hopefully, like our hope is that this becomes a gateway for more normal people that don't necessarily like join Nostr as a community, because current community is kind of focused on Bitcoin and Nostr and not much else. And it's very hard to find people who are like the onboarding, the content discovery is an unsolved problem, mainly because there is not much content. Like if you had more content, it would be a problem to find it. But now there isn't. And if someone publishes a Nostr-based website and publishes a an article and then shares it with his friends, then those people sort of discover Nostr through that content, and they could join with that context. They could join and then, let's say, find similar content, find other Nostr posts that are linked from there, find people who are who write about the same stuff. And so it seems like a much sort of more, much more natural way to join, to not really join Nostr. They would just be consuming content like they do now, but under the hood, it would be Nostr. So that's kind of the current thing where NPAP Pro and NSECOP being part of it and Nostr login, the login widget, are basically three major things that I'm trying to like work on.
Yeah, I really like, I like that approach of, you know, trying to find the things that are missing from the Nostr ecosystem. And I appreciate that about your work, that you not only come at things from a different direction, but also you seem to have a very high threshold for pain. You're tackling a lot of very difficult problems. I mean, search in the first place, that's not easy to build. And then, you know, especially what you were talking about recently with the iframe-based signer. You know, you spent several weeks trying to build that out. Publishing sites on Nostr doesn't seem particularly easy either. NSEC.app, you know, talks using, well, I don't even know how it works, but like web intents or something like that. I didn't know you could do that with the web platform. Is this all stuff that you are pulling from past experience, or are you just that stubborn and willing to read through reams of documentation to and experiment until you can and break through all these different security layers?
Yeah, well, I'm actually a backend developer, and I'm actually writing C++, have been writing C++ for like 10 years, and web is just a hobby. And I have no idea how CSS works. I have no idea like about HTML. It's all just like, I have to read manuals to do very basic stuff in terms of like UI part. And so, yeah, I just like figuring things out. I think if you're stubborn enough, this stuff is not magic. If you're like stubborn enough and read docs and try, you will get there. And but then, okay, the last 2 years I've been mostly on building on the web, so I guess I have some experience now. But again, I mostly write the backend stuff, like the code that works in the service worker or stuff like that, the UI. Is luckily handled by my team members that are like helping me.
Oh, nice! That's cool. I thought I had noticed that your products were looking better and better over time. So that makes sense. You bring in some extra talent, fill in the gaps. That's great. Yeah. Talking about monetization, have you monetized any of your products so far, or are they just kind of free things that you put out there to see what sticks? Have you had any success with building a side business, or is that kind of still in the experimentation discovery sort of phase?
With Nostr projects, there were literally like stupid things like selling NIP05 or selling custom feeds, relay-based feeds where you could put some search string and it would create a sort of custom relay for you. Stuff like that. It was barely used, obviously. Like, maybe I got like 10 sales there. So there's no monetization happening right now. I think NPAP Pro has pretty good potential here because, like, people, it's kind of a natural thing to pay for hosting of a website. It's open source, you can host it yourself, but it's much easier to just pay for it. So yeah, I'm kind of hopeful here in the niche that I am trying to tackle, but I think overall Nostr is pretty hard to monetize for many reasons. The backend services like relays are even harder because most people don't understand how they differ. And so it's like, I think relays should be like two categories, like commodity and custom. And with custom, people have to like read through this thing to understand what it does and why would they pay for it, etc. And they would have to be like first-class citizens in the UI, etc. But like those public releases that mostly power most of Nostr, they are kind of a commodity, and every client is kind of incentivized to find the cheapest one, find the best one, find the fastest one, and it will probably be very hard to pay for them, to get paid for them. So
yeah, we definitely have opposing incentives pulling us in different directions. You know, like clients are trying to use the network in a more decentralized way, but the easy path and the thing that smooths out all the bugs that the clients have with relay selection is to just use the hub relays. And I think you're right that, like, I mean, there will definitely be relays that are subsidized. There currently are. And as long as Nostr is anything at all, there will be. And it's fine to use those as the public broadcast hubs in many cases, as long as you're able to drop back to those other things. But if there's not interest, then those things won't be built. Like, you know, for example, I've just started to hound people about adding relay hints and pub key hints to quote tags, because very few clients actually put those hints in quotes. And then the quotes are always embedded as note one embeds with no relays in them or no pub key. And so Coracle just can't load them. Like, I have to guess based on who's P tagged in it potentially. And that breaks everything that's important about Nostr, the censorship resistant stuff, primarily. I mean, if you just always have Domus and Nos and Primal as your relay set, then
yeah,
maybe you'll get along fine. But how do you think about the decentralization of the network and like kind of that balance?
Yeah. I think it's fine that we are sort of relying on several big relays right now, at least for onboarding new people, because like the farther you go in terms of like understanding how Nostr works, the more you can like customize your relay list and listen to recommendations that will, like what people say, and then clients are better at doing outbox model, and it all kind of starts working more or less with more custom smaller personal relays. But I'm very hopeful in terms of like the long term of Nostr, because I think the biggest thing that will sort of support decentralization is the idea of like who is gonna be, like, if we're talking Twitter, if Elon Musk, let's say, starts posting the Nostr, then obviously Elon Musk is gonna have his own relay. Like, he's incentivized to publish absolutely everywhere to get his message across, but then he's even more incentivized to like have his own relay, because it just doesn't make sense to not have one. For him, it's like pennies to spend. And so how many creators are there who can afford like $30 per month to host their relay? There are like millions of them. And so I think basically the network will be supported by those creators. Basically, you kind of subscribe to like 100 maybe people that you are gonna really read. So and most of them will probably be some celebrities, and they're gonna each have their own relay, and you mostly are gonna post likes and replies, which will go to their sort of inbox relays, their personal relays. And so in this regard, I'm very hopeful, because it means that every creator will have their own relay. They will, there will be no need to like have all those super relays that crawl everything, because they will exist, but every creator will definitely have their own, and there are millions of them. And so that's where decentralization will come from. Now, there is no way that one single creator wins. Like, there's no winner take all there. There will always be millions of creators. And so, yeah, that's kind of the idea. And then if you look at the network this way, then there's it's not obvious if we really need to pay for relays in the setup, because like every creator just pays for his own relays because like that makes sense to deliver his nodes. And so I still think that like figuring out the protocol level way to pay for the relay use, maybe with eCash, makes total sense. But overall, right now, it doesn't feel like this is like the cornerstone that might kill Nostr or might centralize Nostr or anything like this. So that's kind of my general long-term view on this.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's the open free relays that kind of form the main center of the network, and then there's the stuff around the edges, like you were talking about, commodity versus sort of non-commodity relays, and influencer home servers are kind of one of those non-commodity relays. Community relays are another example, and maybe in some cases they'd be the same thing. And that's where you would want those admin tools. Have you thought about like an admin front end for relays or a relay as a service sort of thing as potentially a profitable enterprise, or is there a reason that you haven't attempted that one yet?
I even started the relay admin thing, but just was distracted. And I think at least Ditto is probably something useful in that regard. I haven't tried it yet, but it's on my to-do list. The problem with hosting data is all the reliability that comes with it. Like if you are going to host a relay, we have Nostrband. There is zero moderation there. And like if someone is interested and motivated enough, they could like kill this thing like in a couple of days by sending some abuse requests to my hosting provider or something like this. And so imagining that I would have to deal with that at the scale of like million times bigger, it just doesn't seem right. So, and the reason that why not NPAP Pro, for instance, is different is that we don't really host any data. We just host the code. There's no like, even if the Nostr website that you create with NPAP Pro is hosted by us, it's still just the code, because the site itself is it's itself the Nostr client. Like when you'll have the first page load, a service worker starts, it's just a normal Nostr client. It just loads stuff from relays. And this is kind of I'm not sure if it's legally sound way to avoid that responsibility, but at least it's much closer to being like an infrastructure provider than a sort of content hoster, which is liable to all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've definitely seen that with Nostr.build. They do all the CSAM scanning, and they actually moderate everything by hand. I guess recently they upgraded their stuff to use Microsoft's CSAM scanning. So all of our media that's hosted on Nostr on our nice decentralized network is basically living on either Imgur or on Nostr.build. Then there's Blossom and stuff like that, but then you have the egress bandwidth sort of issues that go along with that. So yeah, the media hosting is definitely a hard problem, but luckily it's centralized media hosting is basically solved, and the stuff that really needs to be censorship resistant is a relative minority for what Nostr is actually used for. And if you do cross post your Nostr.build uploads to your own personal Blossom server, that stuff doesn't go away, and it can always be re-uploaded. So I think we're moving towards a good solution for that. But it is interesting because a lot of people pit Nostr.build against Blossom, and I've done this too. I've said that I prefer Blossom, but I prefer it because of the referentially transparent hashes thing. But it's because I'm not really like an engineer who does high bandwidth sort of stuff. I've never dealt with that. And the resizing of images and scanning for viruses and PDFs and all that kind of stuff, that's a real thing that has to happen too. Yeah. So there's probably a place for both of those things. Let's get into the signers stuff. So, could you kind of explain what got you into signers? You mentioned earlier that there's possibly a business model that you could build on top of that. But is this tied to making npub.pro work? Were you dissatisfied with what currently exists out there for NIP46? Or like, how did you find yourself working on nsec.appen and the signer widget?
Well, we tried building a sort of signer app into Spring browser. It was the signer app. It stored your keys in sort of native code part, and keys never leaked into the web sites that Spring browser showed you. And it seemed like a good idea and good UX. And it was probably a good UX, but then when it became clear that Spring browser probably won't take off in the short term, and maybe it's probably too early. I was just started thinking how this problem can be solved, like at some other way. And nsec bunker was a thing at that moment, and it was nice, but it was nice in terms of like it was an actual NIP46 implementation that kind of worked, but the custodial part of it sort of didn't work, because when I talked to some creators who are already on Nostr trying to like talk about things with them, they were like, well, I would try your service, like one of those many small things that I was building, but it requires me to put my nsec somewhere, and I don't like that. And so that's where I just tried to find a solution and came up with one. It's not too innovative. It's just probably the only sort of obvious way how to do that, to wake up the signer with push notifications, the non-custodial signer. All the mobile apps basically work the same way, because they don't really have a way to constantly stay online. And so I think it's a normal practice in mobile apps. And so after I created that prototype, it just was a matter of turning it into a product and just trying to figure out what can be done there. Because there was also NostrApp.link thing, the Nostr apps catalog. And you could imagine that Signer itself is also sort of a gateway into Nostr ecosystem, where there is even a button there in nsec app that nobody uses really. It's called Discover. Potentially you could have like a list of apps sorted by your trust, the web of trust or something. Maybe it will be there, maybe not. That's how nsec app was born. But also at roughly the same time, this idea of Nostr-based websites something came along, and it all started kind of fit together, where Nostr websites really cannot exist without a safe web-based signer, non-custodial preferably. And then Nostr login widget again was obvious thing, because like after trying to implement NIP46 client properly, it was kind of obvious. Like forcing this stuff on every single developer is too much work, and the widget is pretty easy, actually. Like in terms of how anyone can integrate it, just put the script on your web page, and it all works with NIP07 sort of proxy. So yeah, that it just felt like a obvious path when you like have all this context in mind of where you wanna And also, like, unfortunately, NSEC Bunker itself didn't work most of the time for me. It was kind of unreliable. So just to be able to use this stuff to, like, make NSEC NIP46 work, I had to make this product work. So I think it kind of works more or less reliably now, although unfortunately...
That's how I would describe it too.
Yeah. iOS is still a big problem. Like, there's there's like one problem after another there. And so, yeah, right now, again, after like spending several months coming back at the problem of iOS and how to make it work there, I just came to think that there should be some other way. And that's why I started working on this iframe based thing, because like without it, you kind of lose all this idea of web being a cross-platform thing. Like, people are not going to use all those nice apps and nice websites without a working signer. And so, yeah, really, like, from my point of view, it's all kind of obvious or about, like, what you have to prioritize. Because, like, native apps don't... Most of native apps are kind of a super apps or, like, heading there. And major web clients are also kind of super apps. So even, as I said, for them, it's more or less an afterthought, like this idea of, like, that the signer should, like, that the key storage shouldn't be a separate thing. Because, well, we actually have all those buttons and all those UX features and all those stuff that people need. So why would they really use a signer? They can just paste the NSEC there. But with Nostr sites, the whole idea is that you're going to use different things, different websites, and you're going to have to sign into them. So it's just doesn't work without a working signer. So yeah, that's kind of the...
Yeah, the core of the problem seems to be multi-device, right? You know, this was the problem with Scuttlebutt too, where because you had to have total consistency, you couldn't really share your key across devices because you only had a single stream of data, a single Merkle tree, and it had no way to deal with conflicts. And so what people on Scuttlebutt ended up doing was they would just create different keys for each device, and they would have multiple profiles. Each one profile for each device. And so if you wanted to follow someone, you would just follow all three of their devices. And if they created a device, they would say, "Hey guys, I have another device." So it was very informal way to handle that. And it was, you know, no story at all for multi-device. On Nostr, we have a little bit more flexibility where we can copy our key to multiple devices. But, you know, as I've been building Flotilla, my goal is to has always been to onboard my church community, which is a bunch of people who are just absolutely not going to spend time trying to fiddle with a new technology to understand it. Just saying that keys exist, that is my complexity budget. And so the onboarding process needs to be completely smooth, and the multi-device sign-in process needs to be perfectly smooth. Because if I'm building a Slack competitor or a Twitter competitor or whatever, they are going to want to have an app, and they're going to want to have a web browser. And NSEC.app is the closest thing that I've found that works across platform because it is web. And so, and of course, like, I'm a web developer, so all my apps are going to be web apps that are wrapped by Towery or Capacitor or something like that. And so NSEC.app will be available. And, you know, the friction of kicking someone out to NSEC.app is something, but it's not too bad. I think we can get past that. But it is still going to be multi-device, right? So you're going to have to sign into NSEC.app on your computer and on your phone. People are used to that, so I think that's okay. But a bunker would be awesome, because like a self-hosted bunker is ideal, because you just put your NSEC at one spot, it's on your stuff, and as long as you have that thing online and connected to the internet, you can go anywhere and scan a QR code or paste in a bunker link or something like that. the best experience I've had so far is with NIP 55 because Android, intents work really well, but it's only available on Android. And then, of course, you have the iOS problem. So it's like, it's hard. It's been hard for me to wrap my head around because there are so many different variables, both in terms of technical limitations and in terms of UX. But with this iframe approach, do you kind of see a way through a lot of those problems, or are there still like shortcomings?
First thing I want to say is that NSECAP really actually works across devices. Like, you don't really need to sign into an NSECAP on your, let's say, laptop if your key is leaving NSECAP on your phone or vice versa. So like the request comes in through a relay and push message wakes up the signer on whichever device it is, and it can do the work. Originally the hope was that this cross-device problem would be solved by this thing, and everything would be cool. And maybe it will be cool because the iOS thing looks like a bug now, because originally iOS had web push disabled. It was like experimental thing, and you had to go to settings and enable it. But then it worked. Like, if you go through the steps and you add the NSECAP to home screen and enable web push, it worked fine. But then newer iOS came out. It is no longer an experimental thing. It should kind of work, but it doesn't now. It just doesn't receive push notifications until you launch the app manually. And so maybe it's a bug and maybe it will get fixed. Who knows? But with onboarding, I wanted to say like what I have in mind with NPAP Pro websites. I think Nostr onboarding might actually be way easier like than anything anywhere in terms of like, you don't have to create an account anywhere. Like, all you need, you don't really even need a username. Like, an account can be created for you as soon as you launch an app inside it. And when you click a like, it is just posted as a like with your keys that are created for you in your browser. And so the problem here is how to like pave a path for a new user from like, I just tried this app and I clicked a couple of buttons and maybe posted a like, to like, I actually am going to use this thing somehow I'm into it. Maybe I'm going to visit this another app or a website in my case. And then that site that onboarded the person should probably then suggest them to export the keys from like this session inside the browser into a signer app, into NSECAP, let's see. And so that's kind of the path that we are building right now. Nostr Login already has this, and NSECAP already has this. You can like post a comment on the Pro website. It will just ask you for a name. You type the name, click OK, locally keys are generated, and you're going to use it this way. And the plan is to just suggest somewhere at some point that you should export your keys. But then there is also like in Nostr Login banner, there is a warning that says like, your keys may be lost, blah, blah, blah. You should export them to something. So I'm hopeful about this approach. I'm not sure how it's going to really work with the real people because it's not really built out fully yet. Because forcing someone to sign up into something like NSECAP on their first attempt to like post a like, it's still too much of a hurdle. Like, this is not going to happen, really. And, like, onboarding a person personally or after they heard the endorsement of Nostr and they're kind of ready to, embark on a new journey and maybe suffer some friction, that's maybe okay. But like if a person was just reading an article and wanted to post a like, forcing them not only to like sign up, but sign up somewhere and understand what keys are, etc., that's way too much. So I think that's kind of my idea of you start with keys locally generated. At some point, you suggest the person in the right time with the right sort of suggestions to export the keys into NSECA. And by the way, with Nostr login, like your session automatically switches to like the new session with imported keys in NSECA. So it's just like a couple of clicks. And then the iframe thing, it really is just supposed to like make this whole thing more resilient, like to just make it work more reliably and not rely on like relays might be down, push notifications might be down, operating system might delay those, etc. So iframe thing obviously only works when the keys are stored on the same device. And there's this limitation. But then again, I honestly think most people really use one device, like their mobile phone. They don't really switch too much. And so maybe it will be enough. If it actually works, it is cross-platform, and the onboarding was smooth enough for them to even like try it.
Yeah, I think you're right about the UX difficulty of onboarding. So what I'm kind of approaching this problem with is the idea of reducing the number of choices that users have to make. So, you know, there's two kinds of friction, right? There's linear friction and then there's parallel friction. So parallel friction basically results in decision fatigue, where if you know, and you see this in every Nostr app right now. You want to log in. Do you want to log in with your private key? Do you want to log in with an encrypt sec? Do you want to log in with someone else's public key? NIP07 extension, NIP46 signer, NIP55 signer? Do you want to use a bunker URL? Or do you want to use a Nostr Connect URL? And I don't know what any of these terms are. I'm closing the page because I'm tired now. But if you could just say like, log in with a bunker URL or log in with a username and DNS login, or, you know, here's one button and here's the nuclear option if you really want it, if you know what you're doing, like hit advanced or something. I noticed this clicking through the login widget. You know, there's like three levels of menus to get to certain options and stuff like that. In Flotilla, I've got three options: extension or NIP55, depending on platform, bunker URL, and NIP46 like DNS login. And I like the DNS login because it's familiar to users, but it has that, like, it isn't going to work for someone who's self-custodying. It is sort of it's essentially custodial because it relies on DNS and a server to exist to serve that record. Not necessarily, you know, the NSEC.app pulls it off without holding the key itself, which is a great trade-off. But like, I feel like bunker URLs are the way to go. And I know you have an opinion about Nostr Connect, but before we get into that, I also wanted to mention, you know, the iframe approach, that would solve latency, right? Because you'd be directly talking, you wouldn't have a relay in between. I've noticed this building with bunkers that latency is a huge problem. With a local key or a signer extension, latency is basically zero. And so you don't have to track loading on buttons or deal with double clicks or anything like that. If you have a bunker, now you have to deal with double clicks and you have to show whether something is sending. And, you know, maybe you have a time frame where you can actually cancel it now because it's being sent to the bunker. It makes the UX much more complex. But at the same time, having those extra UX affordances and, you know, display, it makes it feel like a much more full-featured app. You know, Proton Mail has that little undo button when you send an email. And that doesn't unsend the email. They just delay the email sending. So having that pressure of the latency for the bunker is a pain, but I kind of wonder if it'll result in more robust, user-friendly applications. Do you have any thoughts on the latency side of things? Is that like a huge deal or something we have to live with, or potentially like a positive pressure?
I don't think it's a positive pressure, only maybe in the short term, because it forces developers to acknowledge that this thing is asynchronous. It's not like instantaneous. It cannot be, and even the extension thing is not immediate, and there is some latency. You just don't see it, and you might see it if extension requests the person to confirm the action. But the latency, which comes from going through a relay, which might be slow, but then also if you count in web push that might be needed to wake up the signer, that's like seconds. That's not hundreds of milliseconds. That's all seconds. And I've been using Nostr through NSECOP for like the last year. The latency is the only thing that is annoying, really. Like all the rest works. That's one thing, like a personal experience, but also the native apps. It's like their major concern, at least those who do discuss this, Vitor mainly. Like they're one of their sort of big advantages of the native apps is how fast and smooth they are. And just this idea that every click might take seconds to resolve makes no sense to them. But then also let's say you have to decrypt like 1,000 direct messages on start of the app. iFrame does not solve the latency problem for the mobile apps, but it does solve it for web apps, and that's a huge thing. Also, it's not going through relays, which means nobody is gonna watch what you're doing, even if we switch to this new idea of remote signer pub keys, and which are different from user pub keys, all that stuff. Again, like even relay wouldn't be able to try to track you and anyone else. So it's definitely a positive thing, and without it, it was just some problem I thought I would deal with later somehow. So it's definitely a plus to have more direct access to the signer. I think the experience of using web apps is not so much slow because they are web apps, but because this whole signing thing is a problem.
It does seem like it. I know, like I've probably been a significant percentage of the load on the NSEC.app relay because I am, you know, I've been testing my login process, so I've been signing out and back in, and I have a lot of messages. So every time I sign in, I decrypt thousands of events, and the whole app is unresponsive for about 30 seconds until everything comes through and gets decrypted.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's not totally unresponsive, but you know, if you try to like something, it just will sit there and do nothing. And that's actually another strategy that I've come up with is like, go ahead and for any user action, treat it as signed and trusted, even if it's not signed. And then, so you can show immediate user feedback, by adding that to your events repository or whatever. And so the like shows up, and as long as they don't close the page before it gets signed and broadcasted, everything's good to go. And there's different levels of UI element where that matters less or more. Like a like, if it gets dropped, not a huge deal. Sometimes it may be a deal if you're liking a chat message or something like that. But in most cases, it's okay. Whereas messages, you really don't want to drop those. You want to show status and stuff like that. Just like a couple of comments from using npub dot, or nsec.app it seems to work pretty well on desktop, but on Android, it doesn't always wake up. And if I'm in the browser, it's like 90% pretty good. Sometimes it gets stuck. Sometimes it gets clogged up and asks me for lots of approvals and spams me and stuff. But the main problem that I've had with it is when I use Coracle in PWA mode, NSEC.app does not open. Have you noticed that at all, or do you know why that is?
The PWA interaction with this auth URL, confirmation URL that you have to open in a pop-up, it varies by operating system. So on iOS, as far as I remember, it like completely breaks. It's just not possible to use. Then there is Android. It seemed to work the last time I tried, but I'm not sure if anything changed, or maybe I'm misremembering. Then there is also the idea that you may have NSEC app as a PWA, and then what happens when you open the auth URL in the pop-up and you have a PWA. So this is an unsolved problem. Like, I didn't even really look into it seriously because maybe I'm just out of time for that. But
could it be like a click event? So like you could open a toast in your app or something, and then when the user clicks, then you then open that window. Do you think that would work better?
Yeah, that's another thing there with the. Unfortunately, most of the apps, aside from Nostr logging widget, do not handle pop-ups properly, which is you should first show the button that something is like an action is needed. And with signing actions, it should, I think it should be like not a model action. It just has to notify a user because they might be scrolling and doing some other stuff. And then only when the user clicks, as a result of the user gesture, you have to open the pop-up. The same with connecting. Like there has to be this intermediate step where you enter, let's say, bunker URL, you click OK, it tries to connect, receive the auth URL, and then the user has to click another like continue button. Otherwise, it's very unreliable. And on iOS, it will not even show you that it blocked the pop-up. There's just nothing. So yeah, that's one of the sources of the pop-ups is not opening. But then there is a PWA thing. Hopefully iframes will be helpful here, because on iOS you no longer really have to add NSEC app to the home screen and make it PWA. And by the way, on iOS, the local storage is segregated in PWA and in the browser. Like on Android, you can log into NSEC app in the browser and then edit as a PWA, and your keys are there, not on iOS. So there are lots of problems there. As I said, iframes might be a solution to like PWA issues, but not the pop-up issues. So yeah, I haven't really thought it through yet, because when I get to it, maybe we'll figure something out, but maybe not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's funny. Thank you for tackling that super difficult problem, because, you know, I've been a web developer long enough, I guess, that I have learned to just avoid all these things. I just make dumb apps that don't do anything fancy, but I guess you haven't learned that lesson yet.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. It's great. Let's see. Oh yeah, we're going to talk about Nostr Connect versus bunker URLs. You've said that Nostr Connect is a better workflow, and because you know, the client shows a QR code or something and you can scan it from your signer app. I feel like there's an assumption there, because I can imagine that being a really good workflow if you're on different devices, you're signing into a computer from your phone. But if it's vice versa, or if you're on the same device or something like that, you still have to copy paste back and forth between two apps. Is there more to it than that, or am I kind of understanding you right that way?
If you read the newest update that I'd submitted to Knit 46, there's the last section where I suggest the designer can announce sort of an endpoint where you can redirect the person with a Nostr Connect URL there. And so this thing is there to avoid scanning QR codes. So basically, like what how Nostr Login does it now is when you click Login with a... I don't call it Login even. It's Connect. You can like connect to your keys. You click Connect and there's just several options there. NSICAP, Ember, and something other. And so Ember is basically just Nostr Connect URL because Ember can be a handler for that scheme. And with NSICAP, this click will just redirect to NSICAP. Well, it will open a pop-up with NSICAP and will pass the Nostr Connect string into it. And so the good thing here is we don't need DNS in terms of like, we don't need NIPO 5 for that to work. So I would hopefully ditch the NIPO 5 part of NSECAP eventually. User does not have to type anything. User does not have to like copy, paste anything, generate strings. It's like this flow with Google Mail login or these are other services where nowadays you go to a website and it just shows you login with Google and you get there with a couple clicks. So that's the same flow. So this flow seems to be much more preferable in terms of UX, and users don't have to remember NIPO 5. They don't have to type anything. Bunker does not have to manage NIPO 5, which is itself a big problem. And then, as I said, most of the people, not the advanced types like you and I, who use multiple devices, but most people really use only one device. And so for them, there's no like scanning or something. They just click through and that's it. And if they wanted to like segregate stuff, like there's one guy that tells me, oh, I use NSECAP, but I don't want keys to leave my, let's say, phone. I use it from desktop, but I connect to it to my phone. That's like an exception because with NSECAP, which has this cloud end-to-end encrypted sync for your keys, you can just log in on another device with your password manager, which is there in your browser. Like when you sign up, it's currently asking you for a username, which is NIPO 5, but it would be able to go without it. And then it asks you for a password. Your password manager suggests you a password. You just click OK. It's saved there. You go to your other device. It's again there. You just click login. Username and password is pasted by password manager and you are in. So it works pretty well. Well, in theory, because I haven't really tested it thoroughly. So I guess there are bugs there. But overall, even across devices, it should be pretty fine. Unless you're like advanced person who wants to like make sure the keys don't leak to another device, which might be not yours, etc. And even with the, let's say if you're on a public device, like in a coffee shop or something, we can just have sort of temporary sessions in NSECAP where you log in, but you say that you should like delete my keys in like 30 minutes or
something. So is this Cloud Sync, is that already in NSECAP or is that just...
Oh, it's been there from the start.
Really cool.
You type the password and it's encrypted with your password. The NSEC is encrypted with your password and it's sent to our servers. Unfortunately, it was created before Encrypt Sec. And so I had to come up with my own like key generation schema from the password. And it basically does the same thing that Encrypt Sec does, but badly. And I hope to switch there one day. But yeah, it was there from the start, and the idea was to allow this typical flow of just there's your username Nipo5 and there's your password, and you just log into this thing on different devices. Because without it, there's this problem of multi-device access. If you can't really like easily move keys safely between devices, then there is a problem of not having that device nearby. Maybe it's turned off, maybe it's out of network, maybe there's some other issue. And I understand that this is not like maybe uncomfortable for some people, but they are advanced users. They will figure out their own way.
Yeah, it seems like not a bad trade-off where you're holding the key and synchronizing it, but it's encrypted. Do you know, I know that for regular password hashing, you need to use a salt. In this case, we're encrypting a random number with a random string. And so, but like if an attacker got your entire database of encrypted private keys, is there anything they could do, like a rainbow table or something like that to decrypt them? Or, but I guess, yeah, I guess they don't share any data between them. So, okay. Yes. Okay. That seems secure. Okay. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure on that, but
yeah, I'm not 100% sure either, because I'm not a cryptographer by any stretch. And, but I reread all the necessary like manuals on how to do that. And then when EncryptSec was written, it basically just repeated the stuff that I did, just with some better details handled. So I think it's not a problem unless you're using bad password. Like if you use 3-digit password, it makes no sense. It's going to be brute forced.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of your test accounts have ASDF, ASDF as their password. I've created at least 20 or 30.
Yeah, most of my own accounts have like 6 ones as passwords. So anyone who watched me demoing NSECAP can see those accounts and can sign in and try them.
You should add the ability to delete accounts from your NSEC app installation just for me. I know I could go into my local storage and clear it, but
yes, this will come, because we have come in our like exploration to the point where we need actually that feature, so it's going to be there so soon. Yeah,
but I see what you mean about Nostr Connect. If you take out the QR scanner sort of flow and just send the Nostr Connect URL, you can kickstart that connection process without any user action at all, other than signing into the bunker, potentially. And you said it doesn't require the Nipo5, which is great because you don't have to put your username in. Does it require DNS? Do you have to have a DNS endpoint to make that happen?
Yeah, well, you first have to, ideally, you would have to discover the bunkers first, like from NIP89 announcements of them on Nostr relays, and then, or it is hard coded as it is now, because there are only basically like NSECAP and Ember really working. And then in case of NSECAP, you have to like ask for the Nostr Connect endpoint that it announces in its own Nostr JSON file. So yeah, there's no way to avoid DNS, but we are talking web here. And as I said before, like it doesn't seem like NIP46 is going to be useful for native apps. Like this approach of Ember and NIP55, where you have a much faster, lower latency, native platform-specific way to access keys, it seems like a better approach for mobile apps, and they will probably all take it. I'm not sure if mobile apps are going to adopt Nostr Connect as clients. They might adopt it as being bunkers themselves. Delegating it to Ember-like apps. But with Ember, you don't really need DNS. Ember just handles Nostr Connect schema, and it just opens up naturally. So I think it fits pretty well. Like it works with a web-based NSECAP signer. It works with Ember. I asked Mike Dilger if Gossip could handle Nostr Connect. I'm not sure he answered. Hopefully, if he can handle it, then this is another self-hosted sort of bunker that seems to work. So yeah, I'm very hopeful about Nostr Connect. I think this whole Nibble5 thing was kind of a bad idea. A lot of complexity because Nostr Connect was really under-specified in the name. It was really unclear how to like use it, what is supposed to happen when the bunker scans the Nostr Connect URL. And I guess that's why we didn't really sort of explore that thing first. But yeah, now it seems kind of obvious. It's so much better in all the ways there are.
I think you're convincing me. And I think we could potentially get around DNS by, so that NIP89 handler listing would say, here's the pub key. And if the users choose, you have to verify some human readable name. You can't just verify the pub key. But I mean, if you had a way to do that through something other than DNS, you could just kick your, you could send that Nostr Connect via a, some NIP46 command or a DM or whatever over Nostr to the pub key that's listening on a particular relay and kickstart it that way. Of course, the bunker would probably return an auth URL so that the user can interact with it. But that could be a Nostr, like a Nostr colon or a Nostr Connect sort of proprietary, a different protocol URL rather than an HTTP URL. So maybe there's a way through that, but the verification step would be hard. I'll have to think about that. But you've definitely introduced a lot of new concepts to me. Thank you for your work. Like this is, it's super helpful to see these other ways through.
Unfortunately, NIP46 turned way, way, way harder than it kind of seemed on the surface. It's like unimaginably harder. But then I guess we're actually dealing with somewhat unknown sort of territory here because there's no other hot key, has to be accessed by multiple apps, has to be like stored on the web, non-custodially, blah blah blah. There's just no precedent with this, and so we are just looking for ways to deal in this new situation. So I guess we'll figure it out somehow, and hopefully, because this, as I said, because mostly it's going to be on the web, eventually there will just be libraries that are good enough. Like Nostr logging is good unless you are building more customized app, in which case you would probably prefer more like lower level library, which doesn't like enforce its own widgets, etc. Maybe Nostr login will provide that. Maybe not. I'm not sure. But at least like on the web, you can just take a library and use it. You don't have to like almost everyone uses Nostr tools, and maybe people use NDK. That's the same thing. It turned out very complex. It doesn't feel like this Nostr way of something simple that works. But there doesn't seem to be a way to avoid that. Like we've seen one project that recently that claims they solve a lot of things Nostr doesn't solve or stuff like this. And they just completely avoided the problem of remote hot key access. It's just, okay, we're not going to sign this stuff. We're just going to let users trust the home server. Well, maybe that's going to work, maybe not, but they just didn't even try to solve the problem.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And as far as like NIP55 goes, I agree with you that I think that's where apps are going to end up, is they're not going to want to use NIP46 because of the user experience questions. But I also think that's not an ideal endpoint. unless we can have an app that does NIP 55 and 46 at the same time, that could be okay.
Amber does.
Yeah. Amber does it. Although I haven't been able to get the bunker stuff to work for some reason. 55 works great. 46,
it's
not working.
It's very buggy. Yeah, it's very buggy. Yeah. But primarily because of the push notifications thing. It has two options. It uses the Google ones, and then it uses Nifty or something. And I guess it has issues with buttoning, so it's mostly there, the problem.
Well, I'm sure he'll sort out those issues. But yeah, like Amber seems great as like an end user sort of thing, where it's like, okay, you want to use this app? Are you on the desktop? Is it an Android app? Wherever you are, install this one other app, and then you're good to go. And people keep their phones with them. You know, almost no one who has a phone uses a computer when their phone's not there. And if they do, it's pretty occasional. So like for a user experience thing, being anchored to your phone is a pretty good lowest common denominator. I would like to see that where there's one brand where you can just say like, wherever you are, set up this thing, it'll work. And NSEC, that app is the closest thing I've seen to that. Amber has built tons of great technology that kind of moves us that direction. But yeah, if we want to go mainstream without compromising everyone's keys, then this is like got to be Nostra's bread and butter. We have to get this right. So,
yeah, I agree. And I think that what I didn't say when I described this flow of generating local keys first, then importing them into NSEC app, I think the last step would be download this native app, signer app, and export your keys there. Maybe NSEC app will have it. I'm not sure. It's not on the radar, but it could. And because the native app can provide many advantages. It can provide local platform-specific API. It may provide more secure storage for the key using the local security on the device. And so it's just yet another step in this whole thing. You not only have to like sign up in the third party, you have to download it, and you have to like have a space for it on your phone, this kind of stuff.
Yeah. But there's always scope creep that can happen too. And in this case, I think that's a good thing. Like a signer app should probably have a backup of your profile, your relay selections, that kind of thing. And maybe even monitor the network to make sure that those are broadcasted to the right places. Right. Just stuff like that to kind of like paper over the things that tend to get left to the side when clients are the ones who are responsible for putting all the notes in the right places and avoiding contention and stuff like that. A signer app, if everyone's going to have one, it's a great place to sort of handle all those difficult things and smooth things out. So. Well, thank you for coming on, Artur. That was an awesome conversation. I'm really glad to learn a little bit more. Face-to-face is always such a higher information rate exchange. Yeah. So this is great. Is there anything that you want to leave the listeners with?
No, I'm not sure. Like it seems like there is so much happening on Nostra again now. I'm very bullish on eCash in terms of like exploring it. I haven't really spent any time with learning more about it, but it feels like a huge new wave of like possibilities. And I just think it's a cliche, but we're very early in terms of what we are building and what we're exploring here. I think we are on the right track, even though there are occasionally people who doubted heavily, but I think there's something very good there in what Nostra is trying to build and what we all of us are trying to build. So just stick around for people and help us. We help together, all of us, to move this forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cosign. eCash is very exciting, but I haven't had a spare moment to think about it at all.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.